أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله كما هو أهله، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين أبي القاسم محمد. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. دعاء في امام الزمان. Everybody recite with me. إلهي عزم البلاء وبرح الخفاء وانكشف الغطاء وانقطع الرجاء وزاقت الأرض ومنعت السماء وأنت المستعان وإليك المشتكى وعليك المعول في الشدة والرخاء. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أولي الأمر الذين فرضت علينا طاعتهم وعرفتنا بذلك منزلتهم ففرج عنا بحقهم فرجا عاجلا قريبا كلمح البصر او هو قرب. Everybody loudly. يا محمد يا علي يا علي يا محمد يا علي يا علي. اكفياني فإنكما كافيان وانصراني فإنكما ناصران. يا مولانا يا صاحب الزمان الغاص الغاص. أدركني أدركني الساعة الساعة العجل العجل العجل. يا أرحم الراحمين بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين. صلوات. I think again today everybody's tired because salawats are, mashallah, very loud. So please recite a louder salawat. As I told you last night, whenever you get tired, just tell me. But at the moment I haven't started my speech, so at least let me start a little bit, then get tired. So again recite a loud salawat with wa'ajjil farajahum. Amma ba'd, faqad قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طهاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صلاة على محمد وآل محمد محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجا. Dear brothers and sisters, as I promised you, I'm talking on the first two verses of Surah Ash-Shams and verse number 9 and verse number 10. The first two verses are saying that Prophet is the Nur, Prophet is the light, and Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is the follower of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is the real follower of the Prophet, and he followed the Prophet in everything. And the Prophet himself is saying, Ana Madinatul Ilm, if I am the city of knowledge, Aliyun Babuha, Ali is the gate of knowledge. Prophet himself is saying, if Ana Darul Hikmati, I am the house of wisdom, Aliyun Babuha, Ali is the door of the wisdom. So if you want to achieve any kind of knowledge, any kind of wisdom, you have to come to the door of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And there are many historical proofs that people, whenever they had any kind of problems, they used to come to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. They didn't understand any mas'ala, any problem, any educational thing, they used to come and ask for Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. They had any question, they used to come to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. It's a very lovely story that not only Muslims, not only Shias, not only Muslims, not only those who used to follow the Prophet, peace be upon him, rather even Christians, when they had questions, they used to come to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. A Christian priest, a Christian scholar, he came to Imam Ali. And he said, Ya Ali, I have some questions. If you answer my questions, I will become Muslim. Now Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib has the knowledge of Prophet, is following the knowledge of Prophet. Imam Ali said, O Christian priest, will you ask me the questions, or you'd like me to tell you what are your questions? This is the knowledge of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, because he is Babi Madinatul Ilm. He is the gate of the city of the knowledge. The Christian was surprised and said, Oh Ali, how can you tell me what is in my mind? Can you read my mind? Imam said, if you want, I can tell you what are your questions. He said, yes. Ya Ali, tell me. What are my three questions? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib said, your first question is this. What is the name of the first fountain, of the first spring in the world? He said, yes, Ya Ali, you are right. This is my first question. What is the name of the first fountain? What is the name of the first spring in the world? What is my second question, Ya Ali? Imam said, your second question is that, what is the name of the first tree in the world? So yes, that's right. What's my third question? Imam said, your third question is this, that what is the name of the first stone in the world? He said, Ya Ali, you are right. These were my questions. Now, what are the answers? Imam said, the name of the first spring, the name of the first fountain in the world is Aynul Hayat. Ayn means eye, Hayat means life. Aynul Hayat. Ya Ali, what is the answer of my second question? Imam said, the first tree in the world is Ajwa. Ajwa means khajur, dates. Ya Ali, what is the answer of third question? Imam Ali said, the name of the first stone in the world is Hajarul Aswad. So Imam Ali gave him his answers and he became Muslim. And not only this, even as I told you yesterday that some people became ruler after the Prophet. So even if somebody used to come to the rulers and ask anything from the rulers and the rulers did not know the answer, they used to call whom? Ali ibn Abi Talib. A man came to one of the rulers and he said, you know, very confusing things. He said, oh ruler, I am Muslim, but I eat the meat without slaughtering the animal. How could it be possible? We are Muslims. We are not allowed to eat meat without slaughtering the animal. But this man came to this ruler and said that, "Oh ruler, although I am Muslim, but I eat the meat without slaughtering the animal." The ruler got angry. He said, "Hey, what are you saying? How could it be possible? If you are a Muslim, you should slaughter the animal and then eat the meat. Muslims are not allowed to eat the meat without slaughtering the animal." But this man was saying, "Yes, I eat the meat without slaughtering the animal." Not only this, rather he said, "I witness without seeing the thing." We are not allowed to witness. If you didn't see, you cannot witness. Okay, if you've seen, that's another case. But if you didn't see, you are not allowed to witness. He said, "I witness without seeing. I eat the meat without slaughtering the animal." And not only this, he said, "I pray without wuzu." Oh my God. Now this ruler was getting angry. He used to get angry very quickly. He said, "Hey, what the hell are you saying?" The man continued, and not only this, he said, "Not only this, rather I believe that I have some things which Allah also doesn't have." Now he got angry. He said, "Go and kill him. He's kafir. He's non-Muslim." You know, he's saying that he has something which Allah doesn't have. So when the ruler got angry and said, "Go and kill him or put him in the prison," Imam Ali said, "Stop, stop." Babe Madinatul Ilm came forward. The helper of helpless came forward. The knowledge of the Prophet came forward. The wisdom of the Prophet came forward and said, "Oh ruler, whatever he's saying, that is right." "What do you mean?" "Means, can we eat the meat without slaughtering the animal? If it's allowed, people living in these countries, that's very good. We can eat any kind of meat." The man is saying, "I eat the meat without slaughtering the animal." And Ya Ali, you are saying it's correct. Imam said, "Yes, he's correct. Because we eat fish without slaughtering the fish. So you can eat fish without slaughtering the fish." So he's saying, "I eat meat without slaughtering the animal." He means he eats fish. Okay, Ya Ali, if you're saying that's right, but you know, he's saying that I witness without seeing. How could it be possible? Imam said, "He didn't see God, he witnessed there is God. He didn't see paradise, he witnessed there is paradise. He didn't see the hell, but he witnesses there is a hell." So he's right. Okay, Ya Ali. But he's saying he prays without wuzu. Usalli bila wudu. Imam said, "First of all, when you go and pray namaz-e-janaza, you know, the prayer for dead body, there you don't need to do wuzu. Although it is recommended, mustahab, but you don't have to do wuzu." So he prays without wuzu. And he said, "Usalli bila wudu." Usalli in Arabic has two meanings. Usalli, the first meaning, I pray. The second meaning, I recite salawat without wuzu. Usalli in Arabic has two meanings. The first meaning, I pray. The second meaning, I recite salawat. Imam said he recites salawat without wuzu. So what's the problem? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa ajjal farajam. Would you like the last answer today or I give it tomorrow? Today? Raise the hands who wants today. Okay, most of you. So recite aloud salawat. He eats the animal without slaughtering, he is fish. He prays without wuzu, namaz-e-janaza, or he recites salawat. He witnesses without seeing, he didn't see God, and he witnesses there is God. But now he is saying, I have something which Allah even doesn't have. Now this is a very bad sentence. Imam said, no, he has wife, Allah doesn't have wife. He has children, Allah doesn't have children. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This is knowledge of Prophet, which was an Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's Babi Madinatul Ilm. That's why we all should follow Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. If you want a successful life, if you really want a successful life, you have to follow Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. No matter if you are Muslim or non-Muslim. And I'm guaranteeing you, even if a Christian follows Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he listens what Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib said, follows him really, in real meanings, then he will be also successful guy, even if he's a Christian. If you follow what Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib said, how to live, how to do business, how to live in the society, how to have good relations with everybody. If a Christian, if a Jew, if a Hindu even follows Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, he will live a successful life. What about us? We are the followers of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. We also follow Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, definitely we'll be successful. This is what Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib said, خَيْرُ النُّفُوسِ أَزْكَاهَا. If you want to be successful, so successful is the one who was able to change his bad habits. And the Quranic verses, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا 9th and 10th, Surah Al-Shams, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Successful is the one who was able to change his bad habits. And failure is the one who was not able to change his bad habits. Now yesterday, I don't know, definitely you remember, that we shared two lovely points about the importance of habits. Because habits are very important in our life. And you know why we don't change ourselves? Because we don't check ourselves. This is very important. You're going to your job early in the morning, going to the school, to the college. Before you exit your home, you check your face in front of the mirror. Oh, there's nothing on my eyes, there's nothing on my nose. And then you leave the home. If you are a clever guy. But if you are, you know, so you just don't check. And when you go outside, somebody says, hey, there's something on your nose. So you check yourself before you exit your home. And if you don't check yourself, there are many things maybe on your face while you even don't know. So, the same thing as we check ourselves. You know, it's recommended to go to the doctor every 3 months, every 6 months. Why? You don't have, you are young, but you have to go to check. Oh, my cholesterol is not high, it's level. My diabetes, I don't have diabetes, I don't have triglycerides, I don't have any other problems. So you have to keep checking. Same thing, inner life. You have to check yourself. Am I becoming good or I'm going backward? And the best who could help you in this subject is your friend. Your friend really can help you and tell you what bad habits you have. Means your real friend is the one who will inform you about what bad habits you have. Because, you know, unless I don't come in front of the mirror, I cannot understand there is something on my nose. So hadith is saying, Al-mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. Mu'min is mirror for another mu'min. Your real friend is the one who tells you about your bad habits. But of course, not in front of all the people. Hey, my friend, you have such and such bad habit. No. The good friend is the one who tells you where nobody can hear to you, nobody can listen to you, and tells you, oh, my brother, oh, my friend, you have such and such bad habit. Remove it. What happens? We get angry. No! I don't have this bad habit, rather you have this bad habit. Just imagine, you went to the doctor, and doctor said you have cancer, and you get angry. You say, I don't have cancer, oh doctor, you have cancer. Will you say this? No, never. You will say, thank you doctor, tell me what should I do, help me, what medicine should I use? But if your friend comes forward and says, brother, you have the bad habit of backbiting, you have the bad habit of, for example, saying the lie, you'll get angry and say, no, not me, you have, your father have, your family have this bad habit. This is what we see in our society. Because we don't check ourselves, what happens, what is the result? We keep improving bad habits. And bad habits, bad life. Yesterday you've heard 95% of what we lose is because of our habits. Bad habits, bad character. Bad habits, bad destiny. And bad habits, you can harm others and also yourself. Now again, I want to share another lovely point. Psychology is saying that have you ever thought, what is your success? What is your happiness? Some people think that if I become millionaire, billionaire, I'm successful and I'm happy. Some people think that if I become very famous guy, then I'm happy. Some people think that if I become very powerful guy, like president, prime minister, then I'm happy. But psychology is saying, even if you become millionaire, billionaire, trillionaire, you are not happy. Because there are many people who are the richest people of the world, they are not happy. Even if you have the best power in the world, you are not happy. Because there are many people who are the most powerful people of the world, but they are not happy. Even if you become the prettiest, the most handsome person of the world, again, you are not happy. This is not happiness. Money is not happiness. This is not me telling this. This is what psychology is saying. Money is not happiness. Power is not happiness. Beauty is not happiness. Fame is not happiness. So what is the real happiness? Psychology is saying 85%. Yesterday I shared that 95% of what you achieve or what you lose is because of your habits. Now, this is another point. 85% of your happiness depends on the quality of your relations. Lovely point. If you have good relations, you will have a happy life. We see many people. You've also definitely seen many people. They are the most famous people of the world, but his wife has no good relation with him. He doesn't have good relations with his children. He's the richest person of the world, but his children or his wife doesn't love him, doesn't have good relation with them. So he's not happy. The happiness, 85% of your happiness depends on the quality of your relations. And do you know? The quality of your relations depends on the quality of your habits. Good habits, good relations, happy life. Just imagine. If you had the bad habit of talking impolitely, if you had the bad habit of being rude with people, if you had the bad habit of insulting other people, will you have good relations? Of course, no. But if you had the good quality, good habit of forbearance, patience, sabr, talking politely to the people, what will happen? You'll attract people. As I mentioned yesterday, Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wasalam, he talked politely, salatu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And he attracted his enemy. So, 85% of your happiness depends on the quality of your relationship. And your relationship depends on the quality of your habits. If you have good habits, good relations. Bad habits, bad relations. And bad relations, no happiness in your life. No matter if you are the wealthiest person of the world. And we see in our life, many people are every time happy. You know? Every time successful. You know, a guy came to Canada, for example, 10 years ago. In the beginning, he didn't have any house. 2 years, he bought 2 houses. 5 years, he bought 5 houses. And he's every time, you know, achieving success in worldly matters. And for example, in the society, he's been respected. You know, people respect him. He has honor. Every time he's achieving success. And we see, on the other hand, some of the people, they are losing their honor. Nobody respects them. And they are losing their own business. They don't even have good relations with their family, with their relatives. What's the reason? The reason is this. Successful people have successful habits. If you are successful, it's because of your successful habits. And failure people have failure habits. If you are a failure, if you are losing everything, it's definitely because of your bad habit. Just go and check. The problem with us is that we don't check ourselves. Check yourselves. What bad habits are in yourself, which are destroying your life, which are taking you towards failure. Successful people have successful habits, and failure people have failure habits. And as I told you, even if you had just one bad habit, it could destroy you. And even if you had just one good habit, it can give you good life in this world and hereafter. There's a lovely narration that a man, he had the good habit of saying, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What does it mean? I begin by the name of God, the most merciful, the most beneficent. He had the good habit of saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim every time, whatever he used to do, he used to start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He used to get up, he used to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He used to sit down, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. He used to eat food, saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now this became his habit. Now the narration is teaching us, informing us, the person had one good habit of saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now in the day of judgment, when the book of his action will be given to him, you know what is the book of action? Whatever you do, any action you do in this world, good or bad, it's been written, it's been filmed, and in the day of judgment, it will be written on the book of your action and will be given to you. Remember, when you were 14 years old, at such and such place, when maybe nobody was looking at you, but there was somebody who is your God, who was looking at you, and you have done this bad deed. Nobody knows, but you know. Allah knows, it's written in your book. So book of action is all the actions which you had in this world, has been written on the book of action. Now the narration is saying, the man had the good habit of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the day of judgment, he will be given the book of his action. Because he had the good habit of Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, when he will get that book of action, he will say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When he will open that book, he will say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu Akbar. And now when he will open the book of his action, he will see there is no sin, no bad deed written on that book of action. He'll say, oh my God, I'm not infallible. I was an ordinary person. I sometimes committed bad deeds. I sometimes, not purposely, by mistake, did some sins. But there is no sin written on book of my action. Well, Book of Action is that book where all your actions are written, good or bad. Ya Allah, in Book of My Action, there are all good deeds. Where are my bad deeds? The angels will reply, Allah is merciful. When you got this book by saying, I get this book by the name of God, the most beneficent, the most merciful, when you open this book by saying, Allah is the most merciful, Allah is the most beneficent, Allah said, when He is calling me by my name, the most beneficent, the most merciful, so I am the most merciful, I am the forgiver, I will forgive all of his sins. Just because of one good habit. And on the other hand, the narrations inform us that a guy, he had the bad habit of lying. You know, lying is a very bad habit. Lying is a very dangerous habit. The man had the bad habit of lying. In the day of judgment, when the book of his action will be given to him, when he'll open the book of action, he'll see all sins, all bad deeds. He will lie there and he will say, Ya Allah, this is not my book of action. The angels have made a mistake and they've given me somebody else's book of action. He's lying even in front of God. And Allah will say, what do you think? You can deceive the people, but you cannot deceive Allah. I'm your God. I know everything about you. Angels increase his punishment. One bad habit. Lying is very bad habit. I want to talk a little bit about this bad habit. If you have this bad habit, just leave it. Just remove it. Habits can harm you if you have bad habits. They can destroy your life if they have bad habits. Now, lying is such a bad habit that if you lie, people will don't trust on you. Something obvious. There's a lovely story of a shepherd in a village. The shepherd used to take the sheep on the mountain, and then he didn't have anything to do. You know, there were no iPads, no apples to play games there. So he was a young guy. He said, what should I do? Just I'm sitting here, the sheep are eating, the goats are eating, you know, the grass. I don't have anything to do. What should I do? He thought, oh, I will shout. I will say, help, help, help. The lions, the tigers have attacked on me and on the sheep, on goats. All the people of village came. They thought, really, the lions have attacked on him. But when the people came, he was laughing. Hey, I was just joking. There was no lion, there was no tiger. They all got angry. They went back. The next day, again, he did the same thing. Help me, help me. Lions are attacking on me. Tigers want to kill me, eat me. People thought, maybe really this time the lion has come. Let's go and help him. People went to help him. Again, he was joking. Hey, I was laughing. I was joking. Now, the third time, really lions came. Really tigers came. Really they attacked on his sheep, on goats, and on him. And he was shouting, help, help. Really this time I'm not lying. But people said, again, he's joking. Nobody went to help him. People did not trust on him. And when people don't trust on you, they don't help you. Nobody came to help him. And he died. The lions killed him. The tigers killed him. Why? Because of one bad habit. And lying is such a dangerous habit. Lying is such a bad habit that lying is the key of all the evils. If you stop lying, you can stop yourself from many other bad deeds. A man came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have many bad habits. I've committed many sins. I have many bad deeds. Now I want to control myself. I want to change my bad habits. What should I do? Prophet said, from today, leave lying. Don't lie. Stop lying. Every time say the truth. And whatever you do, come and tell to me. The man was sinner. He had many bad habits. He had a very bad character. He came to Prophet, said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to leave my bad habits. What habits should I leave first? Prophet said, first leave the bad habit of lying. Stop lying. Say the truth. And whatever you do, come and tell to me. He said, okay, Ya Rasulullah. He went, and in the evening, Shaitan came to him. Shaitan said, let's go and steal somebody's, for example, something. He went to steal, suddenly he remembered, oh, Prophet said, whatever you do, come and tell me. Now, how can I tell to the Prophet that I went to somebody's house to steal? And I cannot lie, because Prophet said, don't lie. Tell me the truth. Stop lying. Leave lying. So because he stopped lying, he stopped stealing. In the morning, Shaitan said, look at this Namaharam. Look at this girl. Look at this woman. He said, okay, Just wanted to see the girl, just wanted to see the woman. Suddenly remembered, Prophet said, whatever you do, come and tell me. How can I tell to the Prophet that I was looking towards the Namahara? And Prophet said, don't lie. I cannot lie to the Prophet. So because I cannot lie, because I'm controlling on this one bad habit, because I'm controlling on the bad habit of lying, he was able to control on the bad habit of looking towards Namahara. Because Prophet said, whatever you do, come and tell to me. And don't lie. Say the truth. Stop the bad habit of lying. He didn't look towards Namahara. In the afternoon, Shaitan said, go and drink alcohol. Go and drink wine. He went to drink. Suddenly remembered, Prophet said, that don't lie. And whatever you do, come and tell to me. Now, because he stopped lying, he stopped all the bad actions. When he controlled on the bad habit of lying, he was able to control on the bad habits of looking towards Namahram, of drinking alcohol, of stealing, and many other bad habits. So this is the key habit. If you want to change yourself, stop lying. Never lie. Don't lie. Stop lying. Say the truth. You know why people don't say the truth? Because, first of all, they want to hide the truth. People lie, the first reason, because they don't want to say the truth. Like you've broken your father's laptop, or you've spoiled his project, and now you are afraid maybe he punishes me, maybe he doesn't buy me my candies or my gifts or my presents, so I will not tell him. I will lie, I didn't break it. Maybe a cat came and it broke it. So you hide the truth, you lie. Why? Because you want to hide the truth. You don't want to say the truth to your parents or to anybody. The second reason people lie, because they want to deceive. For example, in business, some people want to deceive others, and this is very dangerous. Even if you deceive anybody in business, you think that you are earning money, but actually, you are losing great things. You know, there's a joke that, you know, Pakistan is very famous in deceiving people. Somebody came and told me. I said, how? He said, a woman wanted some gloves from Pakistan. And she said to Pakistani, I want 2,000 gloves from you. There was a company of gloves in Pakistan. And she said, I want 2,000 gloves. So, okay, this was in the contract that the woman wants 2,000 gloves. The Pakistani company sent 2,000 gloves for him, for the woman. Now the woman said, there are only 2,000 gloves. I wanted 2,000 pairs of gloves. The Pakistani said, you didn't write 2,000 pairs of gloves. You just wrote 2,000 gloves. I will give you 2,000 gloves. If you want more 2,000 gloves, it's 4,000 gloves. They are 2,000 pairs of gloves. You have to give me more money. I'm deceiving people. And he was thinking I'm a clever guy. And he was thinking I'm earning money. And actually, he's doing great sin. So people lie to deceive people. Whether Pakistani, whether Indian, whether Arab, whether Canadian, whether anybody from anywhere. They think that if we lie, we are deceiving him. A day will come when you will lose greater thing than what you have achieved today. Maybe you are thinking you've earned a lot of money, but one day you will lose this money and even more than this because you have deceived, because you have lied. And remember, if you lie for 40 days, your dua is not accepted. It's not an ordinary thing. Just imagine, your father is in the hospital, your mother is in the hospital, and the doctor said that there is no hope. She will definitely die. Unless if you pray and God accepts your prayer. Now you say, Ya Allah, save my mother. But because you've just lied an hour ago, for next 40 days your dua will not be accepted. Means your father or your mother or your loved one, relative, will die. So it's very dangerous, bad habit. We have to leave this bad habit. We have to get rid of this bad habit. This is the key of evils. But I'm just finishing here. But before I finish, I want to tell you that there are some places where you are allowed to lie. Like, to save somebody's life. There's a lovely story that a king, a ruler, a cruel ruler, he said, kill an innocent person without any reason. So his soldiers went and arrested that innocent person without any reason. So he got angry. Why are you killing me? What did I do? I'm innocent. Leave me. Don't kill me. They didn't leave him. So he started insulting the king, cursing the king. The king didn't know his language. So the king asked his minister, what is he saying? Now minister said, he's saying, please forgive me. Please forgive me. He's begging you to forgive him. Now if he would have said the real thing, he would have definitely got more angry and killed him, definitely, for sure. But the minister said, no, he's asking you to just forgive him. The king said, oh, really? So I will forgive him. You know, sometimes when you don't understand somebody's language, that's very good. Again, a Pakistani went to Saudi Arabia and he started insulting Saudi Arab and he started cursing him, started saying bad words to him. The Arab guy also got angry and he was also insulting him, but in Arabic. And the Pakistani, when he came back to his country, he said, Arabs are very good. Saudi Arabians are very good. He said, why? He said, I was cursing him, but he was reciting Quran for me. Because he didn't know Arabic, and he was cursing him in Arabic. So, you know, it's a good advantage if somebody don't understand anybody's language. So, here you can save. If you can save somebody's life, you can save the life. Okay? If somebody's life is being saved by your lie, yes, you can save him. And there's another thing. You can use some tricky word sometime when you want to guide a non-Muslim to Islam. Like Ibrahim. Hazrat Ibrahim, when he broke all the idols, what did he do? He put the axe in the hand of the biggest idol. When the idol worshippers came back, they said, who has broken our idols? Ibrahim did not lie. He didn't say, I didn't break them. And he didn't even say that the biggest idol has broken. Rather, he used some tricky sentences to guide those non-Muslims. What did he say? Ibrahim said, why are you asking me? Ask the biggest idol. The axe is in his hand. So now the non-Muslims, the idol worshippers started saying, Abraham, oh Ibrahim, don't you understand? Are you thinking we are foolish? We understand that this is a stone. This cannot walk. This cannot do anything. How can you ask us to believe that this idol has broken all of the idols? Ibrahim said, this is what I've been telling you. That this is an idol. This is but. This is an idol. This is just a stone. It cannot help you. It cannot solve your problems. So leave worshipping this idol and worship Allah, the helper of helpless, who is helping you, who has created you. So you can use some tricky words like this in some cases. But otherwise, you are not allowed to lie. Because lying is the greatest sin. For 40 days your dua is not accepted. In the day of judgment you'll be punished. And it is the key of all the evils. Today, because I came late, and also it's 8:45, I will finish here, although I wanted to talk many other about many other points, that how can we get rid of bad habits, how can we leave our bad habits. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue, and also another subject, which inshallah, if I had time, that there are 3 attacks of devil worshippers on Shias and on Muslims to destroy Shias and Muslims. They are deciding and they have started this conspiracy to attack on love of Ahlul Bayt, which is in our heart. They want to finish and remove the love of Ahlul Bayt from our hearts. The second attack on our belief, they want to destroy our beliefs and they want to destroy our akhlaq. Inshallah, I'll try tomorrow to come earlier, inshallah. So we'll try to also touch this another subject. And today, the final summary of today is that be careful. Be aware of bad habits. If just one bad habit, very bad life. And if just one good habit, very, very good life. And alhamdulillah, we all have love of Ahlul Bayt in our hearts. And love of Ahlul Bayt is the one which can save us from bad deeds. Love of Ahlul Bayt can save us from great sins. You know, I've seen many children, 3 years old, girls, boys, and they are praying namaz-e-shab, midnight prayers. And if you go and ask them, hey, you are a little boy, 3 years old. Why are you praying namaz shab? They answer, they say, because we have love of Bibi Sakina in our hearts. Bibi Sakina was 3 years old and she used to pray midnight prayers. Because of love of Bibi Sakina in my heart, I'm praying midnight prayer. The youth in the age of 13, 14, 12, you see, they are praying their old namaz and helping the poor, giving the charity. Although they are not baligh, it's not wajib on them, it's not obligatory on them. If you ask them, why are we doing all these things? They answer, because we love Qasim. Because we love Honor Muhammad. They have sacrificed their life to save us from sins and bad deeds. So why shouldn't we make them happy when they have sacrificed their life for us, to save us, to give us freedom? So we pray, we give charity to make them happy. Many young boys, they are in their 18s, in their 19s, and they are not looking towards Namahram. While sexual desires are forcing them, look towards Namahram. But they say, no, we are lovers of Ali ibn al-Akbar. We are followers of Ali ibn al-Akbar. If I look towards Namahram, Ali ibn al-Akbar will be hurt. And because I love Ali ibn al-Akbar, I don't want to hurt him. This is love of Ahlul Bayt, which can save you, save me from sins. Sisters, they are in the biggest problems, like in France, like in Belgium. They cannot go to uni, they cannot go to college, they cannot go anywhere to study. Because if they do hijab, but they don't leave their hijab. Hey, you could go. Some people advise them, leave hijab. Leave hijab. Go to university. Go to the school. They say, no. Bibi Zainab will be hurt. We will study at home. They started homeschooling. They started home colleges. They study at home or go to other countries. But they don't leave their hijab. Why? Because they say, we have love of Bibi Zainab in our hearts. If I leave my hijab, Bibi Zainab, Lady Zainab will shed tears. She will ask me, why did I sacrifice my life? Didn't I sacrifice my life and my everything to save you from bad deeds? To save you from bad action? So if you really love me, sacrifice. Give sacrifice for me. If we really love Ahlul Bayt, definitely we leave all the bad actions. We leave all the bad habits. Love of Ahlul Bayt. That's why the devil worshippers are trying to finish love of Ahlul Bayt from our hearts. Because love of Ahlul Bayt is the one which is giving us life. Love of Ahlul Bayt is the main point which is saving us from bad deeds. If real love is in our hearts, love of Ahlul Bayt will save you, save me, save everybody, every Shia, every Muslim from all kind of bad deeds. If it's real love, as I told you the example. And why should we love Imam Hussein? Why should we love Ahlul Bayt? When some people ask, the answer is this, that whatever we have today, whatever we have in our lives is because of Imam Hussein. Because of Imam Ali. Just imagine, if you lost your both eyes, you cannot see anywhere. Somebody comes and donates one eye to you. You'll really love him. He says, thank you very much. You helped me to see the world again. If your both kidneys were failed, and you were just dying in few minutes time, and somebody came forward and said, I'll give you just one kidney, you'll become his slave. You will say, thank you very much. You have saved my life. You give me life for the second time. So if somebody gives you one eye, somebody gives you one kidney, you never forget him. You love him forever. Just imagine, your whole life, two eyes, two kidneys, two hands, it's all because of Ahlul Bayt. Such a good life, if you have a good life, good parents, good brothers and sisters, and good life, it's because of Ahlul Bayt. Because of Imam Hussein. So why shouldn't I love Imam Hussein? And you love Imam Hussein, you try to obey him. Love means obedience. Inshallah, we all love Imam Hussein. We all love Ahlul Bayt. So try to obey Ahlul Bayt. Inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Everybody. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Say it loudly. Allahumma salli ala. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Say loudly, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, forgive us our sins, help us, Ya Allah, that we could change our bad habits, that we could leave our bad actions. In the name of the little daughter of Hussein, Bibi Sakina. Bibi Sakina was really oppressed. Bibi Sakina faced many problems after her father's shahada. It's been narrated that Bibi Sakina had a habit. What was the habit of Bibi Sakina? Bibi Sakina had the habit that whenever she used to pray, she used to put two prayer mats. Do you know why? One of them was for herself. The second was for her father, Hussein. Every time she used to pray with her father, on the day of Ashura, when the time for Namaz-e-Asr arrived, Sakina, according to her habit, she put two prayer mats. One for herself, one for her father, Hussein. But do you know what happened? Many hours passed, but her father did not come. Sakina started praying, Ya Allah, send my father. Ya Allah, where is my father? Suddenly, Sakina heard somebody is coming towards her tent. Sakina thought, my father has come back. She went out. Do you know what did she see? She saw shame is there. Sakina was a little child, 3 years old child. She didn't know anything. Sakina didn't know that Shimur has killed her father. Sakina asked the cruel man, asked Shim, do you know where is my father? Do you know what did Shim do? Shim said, Sakina, do you want to see your father? Do you want to see your dad, Hussein? Sakina said, I'm waiting for my father. Tell me, where is my father? Sakina said, I am waiting for my father. Tell me, where is my father? Shimr had head of Imam Hussein in his hand. Shim said, really, you want to see your father? Sakina said, yes. Now Shim threw the head of Imam Hussein towards the little daughter of Hussein, Sakina. Just imagine, a 3 years old daughter
is seeing the head of her father cut from his body. Sakina rushed and said, "Oh my father, Hussein, who has cut your neck? Oh my father, who has killed you, thirsty? Ya Hussein." Sakina went and picked up her father's head. Now this part is not part of the narration. It's just imagination. I don't know what did Sakina said to her father. Maybe Sakina said, "Oh my father, do you remember? For last 3 years, I used to sleep on your chest." Because the narrations are informing us, Sakina used to sleep on the chest of her father. "Oh my father, do you remember? For last 3 years, I used to sleep on your chest. Oh my father, today you come and sleep on my chest. Oh Hussein, oh Hussein, ya Hussein." I don't know what was Sakina talking to her father. But the narration says, now Shimr came forward. He pulled the head of Imam Hussein from Sakina, and he slapped Sakina so severely that Sakina fell down and Sakina was fainted. The narration says all the tents were burnt, but Sakina is still fainting. All the ladies are saying, "Sakina, get up, Sakina." But Sakina is fainting. Now all the babies, all the ladies were shedding tears on Sakina. Sakina opened her eyes. First time after Sham-e Ghareeba, she saw her auntie Zainab. Now I want to ask you, what did Sakina ask from her auntie Zainab? Did she ask about her father? The head of her father was in her hands. No, she did not ask about her father. She saw all the tents were burnt. She knew her brother Sajjad was in tents and he was not able to walk. She did not ask about her brother Sajjad. Shimr pulled her earring. She did not ask, "Where is my uncle Abbas?" The narration says, the first time when Bibi Sakina saw Bibi Zainab, she asked, "Oh my auntie Zainab, auntie Zainab, where is your veil? Where is your chadar?" Now here Bibi Zainab cried and said, "Sakina, the Shim who pulled your earrings, he pulled my chadar, he pulled my veil." Now after this incident, the wife of Hur brought water. When water came, all the babies started crying. Sakina said, "Ali Asghar, come on, water has gone." Qasim mother said, "Qasim, come on, water has gone." Ali Akbar's mother said, "Akbar, come on, water has gone." When water came, Hur's wife gave the water to Imam Zainul Abidin. Imam Zainul Abidin asked his auntie Zainab, "Oh my auntie Zainab, drink this water, you are thirsty for last 3 days." Bibi Zainab said, "Oh Sajjad, I cannot drink water. My brother Hussein was killed Thursday. How can I drink water?" Imam Sajjad was Imam. Imam Sajjad said, "Oh my auntie, look between my two fingers." Bibi Zainab looked in two fingers. Bibi Zainab saw that Imam Hussein is in front of the fountain of Kawthar. And Bibi Zahra sang, "My son Hussein, drink water." But Imam Hussein is saying, "No mother, my sister Zainab. It is still thirsty. I will not drink water unless she drinks water." Now do you know what happened? Bibi Zainab took the water from Imam Sajjad, but she didn't drink water. She said, "Sakina, come forward, you drink the water." Sakina said, "Why are you asking me to drink the water while you are also thirsty?" Bibi Zainab said, "Sakina, you are the youngest one among us." When Sakina heard the name of youngest one, she took the water and she ran towards the battlefield. Bibi Zainab said, "Where are you going?" Sakina said, "Auntie Ali on the last God is younger than me. I'm drinking water for him." Ya Allah, in the name of Bibi Sakina, forgive our sins. Help us that we could change our bad habits. Ya Allah, help us that we could make them happy, make Bibi Sakina happy from us, and we could stop all the bad actions, leave all the bad deeds. Recite Surah Al-Fatiha.